The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Procurus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Sicily and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in him, in me, will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The psalmist said, This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Have you ever thought about what causes you to rejoice in life? I know that when we get those days when the sun doesn't shine for it seems like weeks on end, and then the sun comes out, everybody's spirits are lifted up. What about a promotion at work or a raise in pay? The birth of a child or the birth of a grandchild? There are many reasons for us to rejoice. As redeemed and forgiven children of Christ Jesus, we do have joy in our lives. This morning, as we look at the gospel lesson from John 14, we consider the theme rejoicing as a child of Christ Jesus. My fellow redeemed, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, there are many reasons that you and I have for rejoicing. The foremost of them is that by God's grace, through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior, we have been given the assurance of eternal life in heaven. What greater joy do we have than to live and rejoice in the accomplished work of Christ Jesus? For Jesus says in our text, For I go to prepare a place for you. Not only did Jesus share those words, but then he continued. He said, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Lest we forget, though, Jesus had come into this world for a very specific reason. Namely, that everyone had the same need. We needed someone to deal with our sins. For our sins and our failures and our rebellion had created an impenetrable wall between God and us. We could not get through it, over it, or around it. Our sins are much like the crud called cholesterol, which can block the arteries, lead to a heart attack. I'm reminded of what Isaiah said concerning our sins. He said, For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. They don't testify against anybody else, but against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. We know them, but do we always own them? Do we always confess our iniquities? I think not. How often do we think that our way is the best way? And then we end up on the wrong path. We can be so quick to challenge the truth of God's word, and when that happens, we can sin miserably. We want life on our own terms, not on God's terms. Because of us and for us, Jesus had to come into our world. Jesus came to be the reconciler between God and mankind. Jesus says in our text, I am the way and the truth and the life. The way of salvation, as we know, leads straight to the cross of Calvary. It was there that Jesus was offered up as the perfect life in exchange for our sin-stained lives. On the cross, he bore not only our sins, but he bore the punishment that you and I deserved. He bore hell for us. Paul said, consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them. See, they were no longer counted against us, but they were counted to the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The doors of heaven are now open as the barrier of sin has been canceled out through Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. Your sins are forgiven. You can be of good cheer. You have plenty to rejoice over. But you know, people enter that door only by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, created by the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament. Jesus is also the truth. The word tells us all that we need to hear. The word brings us Jesus. Think back to the promise given to Adam and Eve in the garden after they fell into sin. They were promised the Savior. And the Father ultimately brought that about through the sending of his Son. Jesus refers to himself as the life. The true God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John begins his gospel with these words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Christ Jesus gives us true fellowship with his Father in heaven. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God brings that message home to people one by one through the gospel and holy baptism, where the Holy Spirit works faith when and where it pleases him. When it comes to salvation, people are passive. God acts upon their hearts and draws them to himself. Faith receives Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. We encounter many people today who are really searching for answers and meaning in life. On a trip I took to St. Louis, I saw a semi with a tanker behind it. And there on the, it was either on the tanker or the back of the semi cab, I think it was the tanker, were the words, Jesus is the answer. And I thought, wow, what a way to truck around the country bearing the name of Jesus. However, the unbeliever does not even know what the question is. The question is, how am I going to get to heaven because of my sins? God's answer is in Jesus. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus is the name that saves. Jesus said, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. Each day we can be found rejoicing because we are children of God. God has called us into his family. We call the Holy Christian Church. We are linked to the triune God in our baptism. John wrote, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only do we meet grace and truth in Christ Jesus, but also the love and mercy of God at work in us. In the Lord's Supper, we receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. The ministry of Jesus consisted of things like teaching and preaching, feeding and healing, among other things. We could say, yeah, Jesus did many, many mighty things. It is important, though, that the church never lose sight of its mission, that of proclaiming Christ Jesus to those inside the church and to those who are still not part of the church. We begin in our homes, and that Bible presentation is again an emphasis of what begins in the home. Then we go to people with whom we have ongoing relationships, to whom we can declare the work of Christ Jesus, and invite and bring them here to Zion Lutheran Church. There is no greater treasure that any one of us can share with another human being than the reality of sin and God's grace and the message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the sins of the whole world. We can rejoice this day and every day in the wonderful fact that Christ Jesus has returned to heaven to prepare a place for you and me and all believers in himself. Today and every day, we have the privilege of rejoicing that we are children of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.